Paramahansa Paravacha Kachaya Asipati Sashima Advaitvangas Esi Bhaktivedanta Swami Sri Prabhupada Ki Jai and Asipati Vaishnavinda Ki Jai. All glories to the Sama Devotees. All glories to the Sama Devotees. Glories to the Sama Devotees. Glories to Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter King Yayati achieves liberation. We're on text 16. I'll read the transliteration. Ya, that which, dusyaja, extremely difficult to give up. Dharmatabihi, by persons too attached to material enjoyment. Jiryataha, even by one who is an invalid because of old age. Ya, that which, na, not. Jiryate, is vanquished, pam, such. Trishnam, desire. Dukkha nivaham, which is the cause of all tribulations. Sharma kamaha, a person desiring his own happiness. Drutam, very soon. Chiajet, should give up. Yadusyaja dramatibir. Jiryato ya na jiryate. Tam Trishnam Dukkha Divaham Sharma Kamo Drutam Chyajet Yadus Jaja Dramati Vir Jiryato Ya Najiryate Tam Trishnam Dukkha Nivaham Sharma kamo dhutam chajet. Vaishnavis? Translation, purport by Srila Prabhupada. For those who are too attached to material enjoyment, sense gratification is very difficult to give up. Even when one is an invalid because of old age, one cannot give up such desires for sense gratification. Therefore, one who actually desires happiness must give up such unsatisfied desires, which are the cause of all tribulations. We have actually seen, especially in the Western countries, that men who have reached more than 80 years old of age still go to nightclubs and pay heavy fees to drink wine and associate with women. Although such men are too old to enjoy anything, their desires have not ceased. Time deteriorates even the body itself, which is the medium for all sensual satisfaction. But even when a man becomes old and invalid, his desires are strong enough to dictate that he go here and there to satisfy the desires of his senses. Therefore, by the practice of bhakti yoga, one should give up his lusty desires, explained by Sri Jamunacharya. Idavadhi mama chita krishna pada arvinde nava navarasa damya ujyatam mantum asit tadavadhi bata nari sangame smayamane bhavati mukha vikara shishtu nishtivanam cha. When one is Krishna conscious, he gets more and more happiness by discharging duties for Krishna. Such a person spits on sense gratification, especially that of sexual enjoyment. An experienced, advanced devotee is no longer interested in sex life. The strong desire for sex can be subdued only by advancement in Krishna consciousness. So this is some more realizations by the he-goat here, by King Ayati, to all of us goats here in the audience. As old goats, this one is particularly aimed at the old ones. So we should take heed and listen and try to understand the predicament that we're all in, that what's really on our minds. Now, if you go over the border from Florida into Georgia, you'll see a welcome sign saying, Georgia's on your mind. But I have bets that Georgia isn't on everyone's mind, even in Georgia. But actually, the truth is that this desire for sense gratification is heavy on our minds. And it's described that the face is the index of the mind. Prabhupada always tells that story of the king who described his friend that even, like it's describing here, that even the old man is still wanting sex life. And the man said, I don't believe it. And he said, okay, then come to this place. This man is dying. And bring your beautiful daughter. And he came there. And sure enough, he says, watch the face of that dying man. And sure enough, just turn right to the good-looking daughter. So this is usually what's on the mind, and it's understandable. Even in elementary school, now it's being injected by different subtle means and even gross means, and by so-called sex education. Who needs it? But anyway, they say that they need it even at the very young ages in elementary school. It wasn't like that when I was in elementary school, as far as I can remember. Pretty innocent. But now, not so innocent. I think if you made a graph of this influence of sex life on the mind, you'd actually see, like, even now in elementary school, you've got to hike up, and then in junior high school, whew, you go way up, and then in high school, it peaks up there, and then even in college, it's strong and stronger and stronger, and then finally, okay, then you get married, it kind of levels out a little bit, and now here it's saying again, it shoots back up even at 80 years old. Pretty miserable situation, because it's very difficult to escape all the influences that are entrapping us in this net of Maya. There's a very nice prayer. I'll read you the translations by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. It's called Arakena Maya Jale. O fish-like soul, or I guess you could put goat-like soul, why have you fallen into the entangling nets of Maya? You have not understood that by being bound up by those nets, you will have to remain in this material world for a long, long time. After becoming a captive in Maya's snare due to your desires for very insignificant enjoyments, you remain transformed in a spiritually diseased condition, punishable just like a disobedient servant. Now, by the power of devotional service, always remain subservient to Lord Krishna, swimming and frolicking freely in the nectarine ocean of Krishna Prema. So this is what we actually desire, to get free from this entanglement. But it is very difficult. Prabhupada also described somewhere that it's the energy that keeps this world spinning, keeps it going on. A long time ago, I don't know if it's still going on, probably under another name now, but there was a soap opera called As the World Turns. And you could just see, all it was romantic affairs going on in some community somewhere, your classic romance of everybody from A to Z. And it's true. It was spinning. It just spins the world around and around. It spins everyone to hellish next lifetimes. Animalistic. Animal life births. Such an unfortunate situation that you can't stop it. Just like this nuclear reactor. You know, it ignites and you play around with fire and now you can't get it out. You can smother it from the top, but still it's going to go down and can't stop it. So this is a situation that we're in. But fortunately, we have, as it's describing here, an opportunity to engage in devotional service. It's our choice, actually. But we see most people don't have the opportunity to engage in it. I lived in the Miami Hotel and Miami Beach Hotel for a while. And Hridayananda Maharaj used to call it the changing bodies exhibit, because all the old people from up north would come down and live in these hotels, and it was pitiful watching these old bodies that were starting to decay, as it's describing here, that actually works on the body, that they get the alligator skin. Well, we could speak for ourselves. You get the alligator skin. But they put on these little bathing suits and they put on the red lipstick and they get as tan as they can, which makes it even more leather-like skin. And they dance. My ashram was right above the dancing area where they would go in the evening and do some kind of, swing your partner type thing. And it was lamentable. A lamentable situation that they didn't have the opportunity. They didn't know about devotional service, even though they were living next door. Even if they did know, they didn't choose to take it up. So instead, they're dancing with their alligator skin and trying to be as pretty as they could, But it was kind of a waste of time, waste of human form of life for sure. But we're very fortunate. Somehow or other, we've found an alternative type of life. Actually civilized life, something above this goat-like existence which everyone is spinning around in. So we should understand that there are some restrictions. There's a lot of guidelines to help us facilitate training, ripping these animal tendencies in order, trying to tame us again to make us human beings. And hopefully, next lifetime, celestial beings back in Vaikuntha. But this is an opportunity to take up that training. It's not just, total restrictions on sex life. It's actually learning how to respect the opposite sex. That's why we have the women over here, the men over here, where we pay our respects from a distance, that we try not to present ourselves in an alluring way, because we have respects that everyone's trying to advance, trying to get out of this snare, out of this Maya's net. So we learn respect, not more how I can to grab them and entangle them. So it's a wonderful training that Srila Prabhupada has given us, and we should understand that it's only by the advanced souls do we get the proper training. Just like I was just listening to the translation that we say every morning to before we offer puja to Srila Prabhupada. And it's describing perfectly that he's the ocean of all knowledge, and that he's grabbing us and taking us back. He destroys our ignorance. Such a wonderful description of this of this great personality, these advanced souls, extremely advanced, exemplifying what it's like to actually be free from this hankering and lamenting, which makes us miserable, as it's describing in this verse. It actually are just full of tribulations, although we think we're going to somehow or other squeeze some more enjoyment out of it. But we can learn by devotional service how to begin to subdue the senses a little bit, how to transcend all these allurements that will come and be right in front of our face, even in old age, how to skirt around them, how to skirt around all this hankering and lamenting, and to begin to experience an attachment for Shri Radha Shyamasunda and Krishna Balaram. We can actually begin to not only be pushed by our spiritual master, but also pulled by the attraction of the deities and of devotional service in itself. So it's really a saving grace. And we should somehow or other put us under the shower of all this this nectar that we can hear, like this instruction from Yayati to his good wife, and from so many other literatures that are repeatedly over and over and over again reminding of us of what we're missing out on and what we can have right at the tip of our tongues, literally, by chanting the holy names. Of course, we have to volunteer ourselves full-heartedly to take to this process. It requires a lot of faith in the spiritual master. That means inquiring submissively and understanding what a gift he's actually giving us. The Bhagavad Gita is saying that it's not just a gift. It's essential that you take it. You have to have it if you want to achieve this liberation from this this very embarrassing situation. If you ask me, when you hear something like this, you know, that the West, these old people are going there to see these naked dance shows and so many things like that, it's really, really embarrassing. One time I went into, on Sankirtan, I was going from store to store. It was a couple years ago. I was by myself, and I went into a store, and all of a sudden I realized it was one of those adult stores. And I just kind of like put on some blinders so I didn't have to see anything. I thought, I'm just going to do my business and get out here real fast, not look at anything. And so, unfortunately, the man said, can you wait a minute? I go and do this person. I go, oh, no, you know, oh, my God. I'm trying not to look at anything, but, you know, it's really, really hard. And then all of a sudden I just glanced over, and there was Radha and Krishna. It was on a package of incense. And I thought, oh, Krishna, you saved me. Oh, my God. You know, and then the man ends up taking a book. So Krishna, you know, we take a step towards him and voluntarily take to this process. Then Krishna will step in and help us to overcome this, you know, this constant challenge, even when you get old and ugly. So we have to understand that there are these choices, just like now it's getting to be swimming season, and maybe some of you went to the beach. I haven't gotten to go yet. But there's so many different people on the beach, and some of them, of course, they're all looking for sense gratification, right? So some of them will go, not-so-good swimmers will be, they want to enjoy, but they, you know, they want to get, you know, a little bit scared. So they'll go in the waiting area right between where the, you know, there's like a sandbar, and then it kind of, the waves stop a little bit before it reaches the shores, and it's not too deep. And so they'll go in there, and they'll, you can actually lay down in there, right? And you can just kind of be pushed back and forth, you know? And so that's what it's like, you know, we dabble a little bit, we get our feet wet and then sense enjoyment. We go back and forth, you know, a little spiritual, a little material, a little spiritual. And sometimes we'll, you know, land up on the shore, yeah. And other times we might all of a sudden swallow some water from a little teeny wave and think, oh, gosh, this is miserable. Go back on the shore. But then there's others that will, a little bit thinking that they're a little bit stronger swimmer. Yeah, I can enjoy a little bit more intense sense gratification. They'll go out and they'll decide to ride the waves, right? And so you're there, you try to be where your feet are on the ground, and you wait to, you know, you just crash right on you, and you try to get a ride, you know, you try to enjoy just a little bit. And sometimes you just get beat up by those waves. I have a lot of experience in this. And you get all, you'll not catch the wave right, and what happens? It takes you down, boom. And then you just roll in the sand, you don't know which way is up, which way is down. I almost drowned that way one time. And I thought I was going up, but I was going down. Another wave came down. And so this is what happens when you try to really enjoy. You're thinking you can handle it. You can handle the situation. And then the worst case scenario is that you're out there, and all of a sudden you don't have anything underneath your feet, right? And a riptide comes. You step in it, and you're gone forever, right? And so someone might find you down the beach a few miles or out in the, you know, the Gulf Stream or something like that. And then there's those people. I don't know if you've ever been to Jagannath Puri, but there's the early in the morning if you go out there, you see all these people in boats, and they'll grab hold of the boat, or like a surfer, they'll grab hold of the board, and they'll just go whoop, and they'll go over the waves, right? If you hang on to there, you can just go right over, and then you're in smooth water. So that's like the spiritual master offering us some facility to just go right over those waves and have smooth sailing when it becomes tough out there, when it becomes very rough, when the warnings are out there. So we should make sure that we hang on to this board and not let go, because you never know when a tsunami might attack. And sometimes around 50, you're peacefully doing your devotional service, and what happens? A big tsunami, midlife crisis. Whew! You don't know what happened. Whoa! Where did all these desires come? Oh my gosh! And but fortunately, we have the advanced souls, the devotees and Srila Prabhupada, and so much knowledge that will say, you built that wall, so nothing can knock you over. So we have to keep hold of the spiritual master. Srila Prabhupada gives some nice analogies that, of course, are very classic about becoming detached, as is describing in this verse so vividly, that we must become detached. Otherwise, we don't make that advancement, and we don't become strong. Just like that one of the bridegroom party in the boat, and they're rowing all night, trying to get their destination. They wake up in the same place. Why? Because they never pulled up the anchor. They never detached themselves. Or Pani Bhushan Prabhu, he gives that nice demonstration of the rocks, carrying the rocks around, and thinking, oh, I guess I just have to let them down. That's all I really have to do. But we're so attached to carrying these rocks around that we just never let them go. We're never really free. So we have to hear again and again. That's really, or else get beaten up by the waves of the material energy. But we should understand, especially at this point in our lives, especially in human form of life, that we have to become more detached. And that will give us some pleasure. I actually got some of the greatest pleasure not long ago, a couple of weeks ago, when I went to our Tuesday night program at the Krishna House. We have new people come, and we get to talk to them and feed them full of prasadam, of course, and nice kirtan. And a couple of people had been coming for a few weeks. And one lady who actually found the devotees at Walmart at a booth, she has some attachment for smoking, and she actually said, "I've done it. I'm giving up smoke." She never would have thought she could have done it. She goes, "I've gone 4 days without." And it was just such a good feeling. And then the guy next to her said, who had been coming, said, "Yeah, and I haven't had a drink in a month." And I thought, wow, this is it. This is advancement. That these people, because of their slight little, bumping into a devotee at Walmart or wherever, that now they've given up some attachment that would have killed them, And now they're tasting devotional service. They've got the beads in their hand. They're coming. They're honoring prasadam despite inconveniences with this and that. But they're pushing forward. So we can see the potency of this devotional service, of this bhakti. Here it's saying the only way to overcome these attachments is by developing some Krishna consciousness, by actually advancing. Actually not just talking about it, but actually doing it and seeing us, seeing ourselves like I saw these people advance in Krishna consciousness. It's just such a relief to see that. And of course, we got to see Srila Prabhupada, who was a perfect example of the greatest advancement. Not waved by anything, by so fixed in determination. And of course, we can hear in the Chaitanya Charitamrita of like the discussion of Ramananda Roy and Lord Chaitanya, that they, and so many other discussions with Lord Chaitanya of different people, that they forgot. Oh my gosh. We started at nighttime and now it's daytime. We completely forgot about sleeping. Sometimes they would embrace. They were in such ecstasy that, they thought, oh, I guess we, you know, it doesn't look so good, especially with Ramnan Roy, and when they first met on the bank of the Godavari, that, oh, I guess we, you know, shouldn't do this, you know, because I'm such a mundane person, who will understand? So it's, when we really advance, you can actually transcend. Just like Prabhupada has explained to us that, chant Hare Krishna, be happy. He said, "All this is the solution to all material misery. All the solutions to material life are just in this chanting." But how many of us have gotten to that advanced point? I know that I haven't. I'm not always happy. And I haven't always been able to transcend situations. Just like the other day, I threw down a pickaxe and the handle came up. I got a big black eye right now. And it hurt like any of the dickens, you know. You know, we're not that transcendental yet, but we're making some advancement, and we know, Hare Krishna, you know, and you keep going on with your service. So even when the waves come, we keep going on with our service, and slowly we're becoming a little bit more attracted to Krishna. We can relish the chanting of the holy name. There's so many examples of, like, Uddhava, who actually experienced the attachment of that the gopis have, which was inconceivable. I mean, he couldn't understand it. But we can understand that with our pea-like, teeny tiny weeny brains. But there is no limit to the enjoyment that we can have in Krishna consciousness, and that we are experiencing, or else we still wouldn't be here talking about the process. But there is no limit. Like, there's so much, so, you know, there's unlimited material suffering. But here, there's unlimited material enjoyment, as Uddhava could see with that the gopis were experiencing. So we should figure out some service that we can become absorbed. So much so that we're like the Goswamis, or like Ramananda Roy, and that the passing of day and night is just, you know, it just doesn't make it, there's no difference. Or that we forget to eat or sleep. Has that ever happened to you? I'm sure you become absorbed in some devotional service. At some point, you forgot to eat or you forgot to sleep. I know that this, you know, I've been in the kitchen and we just have just an ecstasy cooking for Krishna. And who cares about eating, you know? And you just, because you're really experiencing a transcendental activity of engaging your senses and just thinking about Krishna. You're not thinking about your body. So this is the stage that we should come to, that we're being encouraged to come to by Srila Prabhupada at every moment, by his purports, and by this process that we've agreed to take part in. And of course, the most essential part of this process is the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. We have to figure out how to become more absorbed. Just like when you hear, I think it's Rupa Goswami that says that he cannot, you know, understand the pleasure that comes from just the two syllables, Krishna. It's just, he can't see the limit. He can't experience the limit of it. So how many of us have, you know, experienced that? But, of course, we have experienced some part of it. But we should be praying to experience this pleasure, which will encourage us to advance more and more. There's a nice prayer, again, by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who is another perfect example of this advanced stage that we can look forward to. He says, "As much attachment as I now have for worldly affairs, I pray that a similar degree of attachment may develop for your lotus feet." So he's in that prayerful mood. So we should pray like that. If we really want to become detached, we have to pray for attachment to Krishna, because this is the real solution to everything. We know that that higher taste, automatically, the lower taste will go away. So we have to pray like that. And even just before we chant our japa, we can pray, please, you know, make me become a little bit attached to chanting. And Krishna will help us, just like he helped me on that crazy story, you know. Like, oh, please help, help! And he came and appeared before me in a form of Radha and Krishna. So we should understand our position. That we should not dabble in this sense gratification anymore. We should pray to remain immersed, absorbed in some kind of devotional service. We can all find something to get that higher taste. And if we don't have it, beg, borrow, or steal, but get the nectar of the holy name. And we can also rely on our God sisters and God brothers for those difficult times. Just like when you have a wrestling match, sometimes they get thrown in the corner when they're having a really hard time. They go in the corner and they get, the cold packs on, and the trainer comes in and gives encouragement, and I don't know what else they do, but they, take out their false teeth, put something else in. I don't know what do they do, and then they, to help us in their battle to keep them going. So we have to keep in the association devotees and take their association very seriously. And when we're praying, we should seriously pray that if we really want attachment to Krishna, then Krishna will help us. But we really have to want it. Sometimes you get scared because you think, oh, but then those attachments for all these other things, they'll go away. And then what will I be left? What if I'm not attached to Krishna? But we have to take that risk. Pray for that attachment to Krishna, and then we can very smilingly and lovingly see all these past attachments, like it's describing here, just going away. Soon there'll be no more lists. We'll have no more lists of things that we thought we could squeeze some enjoyment out of. So this is a little bit of the realizations. I'm sure other people have other realizations. I mean, it's not just sex life either. Yeah, we're attached to so many things. Just like this whole situation in Libya. They're trying to drag this guy off out of this position. I mean, how many nations are engaged in trying to win outright war to get this guy off his position? He's been on there how many years? 40 years? I don't know how many, 40 years or something like that. And he just doesn't want to let go. He's so attached to this position. And so now there has to be worldwide war just to drag him off because of his attachment. So we have to be very careful that we're not attached to so many things. And surely we still have some. So any questions or comments? Yes, Garrett Pippu.
Haribo Mataji. I just wanted to add that, like, the closer we are to vulnerability, the closer we are to liberation of misery. And what makes the attachments letting go so difficult is, along with those attachments, is our beliefs, security, safety, and comfortable zone. So once we recognize that it's basically those attachments is our home, that's when we can realize and be aware that it's time to move on.
Yeah, so therefore Prabhupada says we have to realize that our real shelter, our real home, is in kirtan. It's the safest place. It's the safest shelter. Like I was discussing with somebody, thinking that if, this radiation thing happens and all, the world decides, okay, that's it, we're all going to be finished, that we could go out in the street and announce that, okay, we're going to have a nuclear kirtan, we're just going to chant until whatever happens. I guarantee you a lot more people would come out of their houses and engage in kirtan because there's nothing else to do. There's no other solution. The only solution, got nothing to lose, go out there and join those Hare Krishna singing and dancing. They got smiles in their faces. I don't know what it is, but let's go out there and go back home, back to Godhead with them, because they must be going back there. So it is our shelter, and we should feel that way and really take shelter and keep it all surrounded by us. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai.